have some fun.
She was masturbating.
I need you to be honest with me.
Oh, I'm being honest with you, dude.
This is gonna go a lot easier if you're honest.
And I will. Yeah, dude.
Yeah. What are you on right now, man?
Cloud nine. What? Cloud nine. Cloud nine.
No. What are you on right now? One? You gotta be honest.
I'm on one, dude. You know what I'm saying?
Stop fucking around. What are you on right now, man?
TikTok. What? Instagram. I'm on all of them.
I'm not talking about your ads. Drugs.
Sure. If you got some. Yeah, I'm down. You guys partying? Yeah, sir, dude.
Step out of the car. I need you to be honest.
Hey there, hello, greetings, and welcome. You are listening to the Sloppy Pod Podcast, the leader, the leader, I'm sorry, in the unpublished podcast, coming to you from the 420 SF studio. Stillicum, Washington. So I hope everyone is having a fantastic day. I'm trying to make it that way. I woke up. That's a good thing. But I woke up about 2.5 hours past what I had my alarm set for 7 o'clock. Okay. Well, I got up at 4, took a shower, laid back down because I was cold. Laid back down, still had the alarm set, and I slept right on through. And so, you know, the dog needs to go out. He's accustomed to getting out by that 7:30, 8 o'clock. And when I didn't answer the call, he did answer the call. He pooped, you know, but, you know, no harm done. It wasn't, well, we're not going to go into the firmness of it, but yeah, easy to clean up, no problem. So anyway, that's how my morning started. I have to deal with, a few weeks ago, it has been a few weeks already, about August 26th, 27th, I call my dad just to check up and see how he is. You know, he's 92. Normally, I call him and he's right there. He picks up, no problem. Hey, what's going on, you know? This time, he picked up and hung up, and I thought, call him back. Same thing, pick up, hang up. It's like, shit, what's going on with him? So I called my brother and told him what was happening, and he said, well, I'll get back to you when I find out. Well, a couple of days later, I get a phone call explaining that dad is not going to survive this, it's dehydration, and, so he basically tells me, you know, you might want to get down here as soon as possible. Dad is being transferred to my house, with hospice set up, and hospice said he could go basically anytime, and they also said the reason he may have not left yet is he may have been waiting for his other son, which is me. And I'm not saying that he did that. You know, I'm just saying, you know, it happens. So I fly down and I get there and, man, dude, there's... It was not a pretty sight. Death is never a pretty sight. We all know that. But so I get up to his bedside and I told him, "Hey, man, I'm here." And there was a visible uptick in activity. But then, kind of after that, he kind of fell silent again. And I left for the night and came back on September 1st, which was my younger brother's birthday. My brother passed away from ALS. He was laying there and drawing slow breaths. And then he drew one long, deep breath, and that was it, man. We all stood around like, I think that was, oh, man. Whew. Anyway, sorry. I just kind of had to relive that. Anybody who has lost a parent knows what the family's going through. It's ugly. And to lose both parents, because my mom left in, 2016? My brother left in 2014. My aunt left in 2015. Thanks for letting me do that. Not like you had a choice, I'm just gonna take a quick break, man. I just thank you for if you're still there. I thank you, and we'll be right back. All right, so it looks as though when it comes to Dad's celebration of life, if you will, we were going to plan something very sparse. Dad had not a large group of friends. He was very reserved, as we all were or are. Because I'm not going to be there, I still wrote something, and I hope to have it delivered, before that, takes place. So I'll just make this brief, as that was one of Dad's favorite lines, whenever one of his kids, mainly me, when we would begin to tell him something, like a story or anything, he would just say one word, "briefly," as that would assure him the condensed version, if that. He will be missed, as well as his anecdotes. He had many. He loved to share with anyone willing to lend an ear. And looking back over the decades of entertainment our father provided us, Scanlon family vacations come to mind. Oh, the secondhand smoke mobile with the hand crank to roll down the window. Oh, dude, we would be pleading to just crack the window just to let the air come in or the smoke out. No, don't. it's funny now. As Richard Pryor once said, it's nice to laugh later, talking about his setting himself on fire. Anyway, So, he would definitely, he would take us to certain destinations, mainly up and down Washington and Oregon, but, it was a lot of fun. Sea Lion Caves right there on north of Newport, I think it is. Trees of Mystery down in the Redwoods, Paul Bunyan and Babe. Dead Horse Creek. It's right up there in the, well, it doesn't matter. You know, just House of Mystery, you know, the Oregon Vortex right there in Gold Hill, Oregon. Oregon Cave, there's a lot of them, you know, so, yeah, I just wanted to share that. You know, we had our fun as a family. It was, yeah, we'll just leave it at that. It was fun. And he, yeah, he's going to be missed, man. I mean, I look forward to calling him. You know, I look forward to calling my mom, you know, and that's all done, man. There's something about it, I will say, when both parents are gone, that security that you kind of felt is now completely depleted, gone, and it's a very eerie feeling. And I can't even imagine those kids out there that don't have parents to really lean on. I just can't even fathom that. So
it's tough to lose those loved ones. I miss my granddad. I miss him terribly. I miss him every day. I miss my dad. It still hasn't even set in, I think, 100% that my dad's gone. I still got his phone number, you know, programmed into my phone. And emails, you know how that is, and you know, you debate whether should I delete that contact or should I just leave it there. And when you think about the fact that you'll never see that caller ID again, you know, from Dad, it's kind of a tough thing. It's a tough thing to lose your father. Because I think, you know, when you're growing up, even when you're older and you have your own family, you know, your dad is always the patriarch. You know, he's always there. If you get in a bind, he was always there to call. If I had a problem I couldn't solve, and he always had an answer. He was a highly intelligent and resourceful man. And to not have access to that, and I run across that from time to time, a lot actually, where I've done something or we've had some success or some accomplishment, and the first thing I always did was call him and tell him and share that with him, and to not have that anymore is a great loss. It's just something we all have to go to. I'm not the only one, I know that.
Okay, so that last clip was just something I found on YouTube from Wrangler Star. It wasn't labeled very well, so I don't know who was speaking, but yeah, the whole thing about the contact in your phone, you know, mom and dad now are gone, so do I delete the contact? I struggle with that. I just want to say one more thing. Well, maybe two more things. I don't know. I just have to acknowledge him for what he had to go through when I was, you know, I have hypothyroidism. And I was born with it, and they did not discover that till I was 3.5 years old. And the trips to the Seattle University or whatever the, you know, UW medical facility, and the stuff that he had to endure while I was going through testing and everything, you know, and he just, I don't know, man. You know, he did it. Of course, he had to do it, I guess. I mean, otherwise I'd be in the circus right now. I'm kidding, but I would be a dwarf if he hadn't done that. Because, well, anyway, you can't go into it. But he just, you know, I just remember coming back from those trips from Seattle and, you know, he just, he treated me nicely. You know, and yeah, it was just something special between him and I. Those trips to McDonald's, the trips to the pet store, you know, things to kind of make... the compassion, the humanity, you know, he was being a father. I just really appreciated it. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'll take a quick break and I'll let you out of this. Sorry, man. We'll be right back.
Well, folks, we'll be back in a minute with more excitement right after this word.
Beer, 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 beer.
Well, Al.
Yes, Ged.
Do you like beer?
Yes. I don't drink a lot of beer, maybe just two or three times a day. But how about you?
When I come off stage, I really, really enjoy an ice cold beer, yeah. As you know.
Great. Like a little reward. I know when Charlene and I have a big argument, she throws a beer in my face. So that I like that because it's refreshing. And I feel cooler afterwards. I think I might have peed a little bit when you did that.
Thank you for sharing that. Here we are at a brewery.
At Anderson Brewery.
Yeah.
Very exciting. We have this new beer coming out that...
We do?
Yeah. We're here to make it.
I get home at 5 o'clock and I usually take myself out an ice cold beer.
I think beer most likely is better than being hit in the head with a hammer. Typically when I'm here at the brewery and I'm doing experiments, I put it down here and I turn this nozzle here.
Nozzle?
Nozzle, I think, is a fantastic word.
How much beer does this factory of beer make?
Well, brewery is the proper term that we use in the science community.
I see.
We tried 20 different beers. We settled on, I think, 3. And
was one shorter than the other?
You know, so what's that?
What's that? I'd like to fill up my Schmigilkas.
Oh, yes, please do. That's a pretty big Schmigilka you got there. We tried 20 different beers. We settled on, I think, 3.
We narrowed it down to 3, and then we drank more of them.
And finally, we selected the fantastic beer that we ended up selecting.
We agreed right away that that was the best beer.
Yeah. Just have a smell of that.
It smells like hops. You know the lingo, let me tell you.
If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, you know that ghost is me. And I will never be set free as long as I'm a ghost you can't see. If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, kind the drugstore sells. When you reach the part where the heartaches come, the hero would be me. Heroes often fail, and you won't read that book again because the ending's just too hard to take.
Mind you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Okay, so I only have a couple more things to mention. One of those is the music that I just played, the Big Bad John, one of my dad's favorites, and then Gordon Lightfoot, If You Could Read My Mind. You know, those two songs, just kind of, dad's favorites. I'll just leave it at that. And the other thing is, I almost apologized, well, I think I may have apologized for the, as my dad calls it, sniveling, the breaking down, the crying. We were always told, don't you start crying. And we, for the longest time, bottled it in, kept it in, you know. No more. Anyway, so I'll just go ahead and leave it there. And, you know, look, I hope someone is out there listening and saying, hey, you know what, I went through the same thing. It's something to lose your parents, and I make no apologies, we'll just shut it down, and I guess we'll do News of the Weird next.
It's time for News of the Weird.
From around the corner to around the planet, we probe the globe to bring you the breaking news, true stories of the weird, the bizarre, the unusual, and the ridiculous, as reported in newspapers and telecasts across the nation and the world.
It is time for News of the Weird. Let's go. Security guards at the Eiffel Tower in Paris discovered two American tourists sleeping near the top of the structure on August 14th as they prepared to open for visitors. Paris prosecutors said the two dodged security the night before and, quote, appeared to have gotten stuck because of how drunk they were, unquote. Firefighters were dispatched to collect the men who were questioned by police. Eiffel Tower Management Company, they said they would file a criminal complaint, although the pair didn't, quote, pose an apparent threat. How perfect is it that the French are getting our homeless? In related news from Paris, an experienced American climber got to the top of the Eiffel Tower early on August 17th and parachuted off before guards could stop him. Oh, man. The unnamed man landed safely after the leap of about 1,100 feet and was promptly arrested for endangering the lives of others. Quote, this kind of irresponsible action puts people working at or near the tower in danger, unquote, scolded Set, the tower's management company. What is with the Americans, man? I mean, I get it. Nobody wants the French over here, so hey. Let's talk about stupid people, yeah? Sure, Mountain Dew has been compared to battery acid, okay? But one suspect thought a can of the stuff could save her from being fingered, hey now, as a killer. Fox 35 TV reported that on August 5th, Nicole Max, 35 years old, was charged with first-degree murder in the death of her 79-year-old roommate, Michael Sarasoli. Sarasoli was discovered beaten and stabbed in the home that they shared in Daytona Beach, Florida, on July 1st. Officers tracked down Max around 3:30 a.m. The next morning at a Crystal's restaurant. Well, Crystal's restaurant. Apparently she was suicidal. Hey now. She was found with blood on the side of her leg and part of her shirt had been torn or cut away. So as they approached, she dropped a knife and hammer she'd been carrying. She told officers she carried such items on a regular basis. Police said as they questioned her about her roommate, she became agitated and asked for a drink. They gave her a can of Diet Mountain Dew, okay, which she poured all over her body and hair, hoping to eliminate any evidence on her person. Unsurprisingly, that stunt didn't work, and her DNA was found on the knife used to kill Sarasoli. She currently resides at Volusia County Jail. Good God. I mean, God is good. Just put her away. Let's see, one more? Okay. TikToker Michaela Witter was on day 20 of a series she was posting about 100 solo dates. I think I may have already done this. I've already read that one. You'd have to go to I don't know what episode it was, so listen to all of them, please, and thank you. Up next, street performer Lino Tomlinson retired from boxing after a blow delivered to his opponent fractured the man's skull and killed him instantly. Oh, man. Tomlinson gave all his fight winnings to that man's family and took to the streets where the Iron Man, as he was once known, I thought that was Mike Tyson. Anyway, he now beats up on himself and collects tips. He uses a sledgehammer to slam his wrists, elbows, and forearms for horrified onlookers, but seems to be unharmed by the abuse. Yeah, right. Edward Carbonell is quoted as saying, "It's all real, man. Nothing fabricated." Who watches Tomlinson's show? I want to be remembered as someone who pushed the limits of what is possible. All right, so that about wraps up episode 122. That was not an easy episode at all. I am drained, man. You know, a lot of good, healthy emotion, and, you know, I think everybody needs to share feelings and let out the grief and the mourning. It's healthy, man. It's healthy to let that stuff out, regardless if you've lost a relative or just the anxiety of everyday life sometimes. I mean, with everything going on in the world right now, man, there needs to be more soulful crying, reaching out to a higher power. You know, we all need to start getting our shit together and realizing that... You know, there's something more. Okay? But yeah, so 123 is going to be geared toward emotion and the release of. And we'll just see what transpires. But until then, look, if you stuck it out, if you hung out to the very end, and if you got anything out of it, let me know. But anyway, it's been great, and we'll talk to you again soon. Love you, whoever you are. Just hang in there. We'll talk to you again soon. Later.
This concludes our broadcast day. Click.